What up, everybody? It is your guy, Bad Dog, along with Adrian and Anthony. Entertainer is going to be joining very soon. He's working. And I know it's a different time and different night tonight. So first and foremost, I just want to say thank you to these great people who work around my ridiculous schedule, because I am the reason that these are kind of all over the place this week. My schedule doesn't really match up with the time we normally do it. So really appreciate you guys being flexible with what the hell I got going on. We'll be back to normal in a couple of weeks, right before the draft. We'll be back to normal. So as always, appreciate everybody for tuning in. And again, just a big thanks. This channel is growing really quickly, almost at 4,200 subscribers. So that is kick ass. I mean, we did this in the off season, for crying out loud. So that is amazing. Imagine what it's going to be like when we do get to like the day before the draft and then the day after the draft, how crazy Wednesday and Friday are going to be a couple of weeks from now. And this is really what we've been talking about as a draft. And as this is going along, there's been many rumors. It definitely looked like the Giants were all in on Shedeur Sanders about a month ago. And then things just kind of shifted a little bit to where I don't think they're in on him at all. I don't think Shedeur Sanders is going to be a Giant at all. I don't see it unless they get him with their second pick. He's definitely not going third overall. And there's a lot of talk that Travis Hunter is going to be a Brown. Now, again, you can take the odds for what they're worth. Mock drafts are like the weather report. They change every day. We'll start with Adriana as always. If Travis Hunter goes to Cleveland, which he's projected to, I don't see how Cleveland passes on a quarterback. I don't understand how they could possibly do that. But they're Cleveland. If any organization is more screwed up than us, it's them. So who knows, right? Do you think it's possible that Abdul Carter, like the medicals in Abdul Carter are weird? We've heard about his ankle, heard about his shoulder. He didn't participate in pro day. If the Giants say they were scared off by his medicals, if they saw something that turned him off, and it went Cam Ward and then Travis Hunter, who do you think the Giants take at three? You think they would decide at that point to take Shedeur Sanders? Do you think they go a different route? Because I've never actually looked at this scenario, so I'm curious about what you guys think. Because I'm thinking the whole time it's going to be Sanders. Now I'm not, don't think so. Hunter could not be. And Carter, and if Carter's medicals suck, it might not be him either. Where would they go?
I don't know if the medicals, they would weigh that high, because I think from what we saw in Shane on Hard Knocks, like that's definitely part of it. But I kind of feel like they brushed it off a little bit, in the sense that like they drafted other guys who had some sort of injury history in college, and they didn't let that stop them. I think as fans, we have PTSD because everyone on the team is always injured, and it seems like it's a reoccurring theme that never ends. So from a fan's perspective, like his medicals concern me a little bit, but not to the point where I wouldn't draft him, because I do think that he is going to be such an absolute beast on the field that I wouldn't let that prevent me from drafting him. And I don't think that it would be enough for them to say, well, we like Sanders, we don't love him enough to take him at three, but we're afraid of Carter, so we're just going to take Sanders. I don't think that that would be enough for them to do that. I think if they really, really love Sanders and that is their guy, they're taking him at three. They're not trading back into the first round. They're not going to try and, you know, give away all of their draft picks to do that. If Sanders is their guy, they're taking him at three. The Browns are really screwing me up because I just don't know what to believe with them. And when you look at their roster, the obvious answer is taking Shedeur Sanders, because any logical person is like, there's no way they're going into the season with Kenny Pickett. It just seems so wildly unbelievable that I just don't think that they would pass up on Sanders. But I just don't know what to believe, because now there's all this coming out that they met with Abdul Carter and, you know, seemingly things went well, but now they're all in on Travis Hunter. Like, I just don't know. I think the best situation for the Giants is that the Browns go Sanders, because then they can either go Hunter or Carter. And either one of them, I think, is a great pick for the Giants. And day one, like, would y'all be thrilled with? I also think if it's Sanders versus Hunter or Carter, I'm still on board with Hunter or Carter. I wouldn't hate it if they get Sanders. If that's who they really believe in, then so be it. Let's give it a go and see what he's got. But Carter is still my guy. Like, I still would just take him. And believe that we have some sort of faith in our medical staff, and you know, they're going to figure it out.
Yeah. Anthony, if they were scared off by Abdul Carter's medicals and Sanders is there, but Hunter and Cam Ward are gone, could they go in a different direction? Which direction would they go?
I think they would take Sanders at that point. I don't think the medicals are going to scare them off of Abdul Carter. I don't think that they're significant enough to do that. What's up, Chris? I think that Carter is such a great talent that even though he has a little bit of medical concern, it's not intense enough where the Giants would pass over him at three if that's who they wanted. But if it were an issue and if the medical did scare them off, I think in this scenario where Travis Hunter's off the board, they still would just take Shedeur Sanders. I don't believe that the Giants like desperately want to avoid Shedeur Sanders. I just think that they like these other guys a little bit more. But the way that I view it is they have this kind of short list of prospects, and it goes probably Hunter one, Carter two, and then Sanders three in this scenario. That's what I would think. So, but I guess outside of that, any alternatives would be probably trading down. Like if you really didn't want to draft Sanders, if you didn't want to draft Abdul Carter because of his injury history and Hunter was off the board, then I guess trading down would be your other alternative and collecting more draft capital instead.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird scenario without question. Chris, we kind of discussed this with Patty last night about Abdul Carter and his medicals. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much you heard, but say that they didn't like his medicals and Cleveland did take Hunter. And obviously Cam Ward's going number one. Now, I know you're a Shedeur Sanders guy without question.
And an Abdul Carter guy. I'd love
either one. Say they didn't like whatever they saw and said, we don't want him at three. Where do you think they go? You think they do go Sanders at that point, or you think they go in a different direction?
I don't know what to believe right now, man. I really don't. Like, I thought I had like a pulse on it, and at this point, I have no idea what's going to happen. You're hearing all these rumors now. Nobody by does. The way, yeah, what's going on, everybody? Thank you guys for being here. But now you're seeing all these rumors now that Shador's visiting with the Steelers. So like, that's almost like at least anticipating it's a possibility he could drop in the draft. Of course, the Steelers could potentially be thinking about trading up, maybe jumping the Saints to try to get him at eight if they really like the kid. But I don't know what to think at this point, but in the scenario where they were scared off by the medicals with Abdul Carter. Now I did read today, I was busy at work, but I think I read that the Giants are meeting with Carter again. I don't know if they're going to do like a physical there and maybe that will ease their potential tensions of the injury problem with Abdul Carter. Everybody's worried about the foot. Of course, he's got the shoulder thing as well. But if they're worried about that, I think they probably don't take him at three. And if they don't take him at three, I mean, Bad Dog, I find it hard to believe, like we've said on this show now for the last like month or whatever it's been, to see Joe Shane trading down. Because we all agree his job's on the line. So I just find it hard to believe he's going to trade down. And if you're not going to take Abdul Carter there, if you're not going quarterback, what's the pick? You're going to take Mason Graham. You're going to take a defensive tackle at number three overall. I can't see Joe Shane doing that. He's Mr.
You're taking Ashton Gentry at number three overall?
No, because he's Mr. Positional Value, right? He didn't sign Saquon Barkley. I don't see it. So if they weren't going to take Abdul Carter, which I think most people agree at this point, he's the favorite.
Yeah.
I think it would be Shedeur. I think he would be the pick at three.
Yeah. Adriana mentioned, I don't know how much the medicals would scare them all. I mean, it would have to be something really serious, I think, to because if he's there at three, I mean, I think it's a no-brainer. The guy is absolutely, I know the word generational gets thrown around a lot, but man, you know, you and I talked about this, Chris, when we did the games. Obviously, I didn't watch every Penn State game. I watched some of them, and it was mostly to look at Drew Aller because everybody talked about Drew Aller. So I watched Abdul Carter, but not the way I did when we were doing the games. And you and I just were like, holy shit, can he be a Giant? We'll take that guy any day of the week. I mean, he's unbelievable. So I still think the Giants walk out of here with a great player one way or the other. I know Anthony mentioned, you know, Cleveland's owner going to the pro day. Anthony, is it possible that they went there to just look at Travis Hunter? Is that possible? I mean, obviously, they could be looking at both of them, but do you think they had Travis Hunter in mind the whole time?
Anything is possible, but I still think they're going to go with the quarterback. I still think the owner being there signals that the owner was there to speak to the quarterback and decide whether or not that should be their franchise quarterback. although I guess those meetings that they had could have gone sour and maybe he will back off of Shador Sanders, totally possible. But I believe that was his intention for going there, was to speak with the quarterback, although I don't know for sure. It totally could have been for Travis Hunter, because Travis Hunter is literally unlike anything that we've ever seen. So maybe he's enamored by him like we all are, and he just wanted to go to the pro day and watch him work out. That is totally possible. Additionally, and I was saying this on Fireside Giants live stream earlier today, there's a lot of other Colorado players that were at that pro day, right? Jimmy Horn, LaJonte Wester, obviously Shador and Travis, but there is a lot of draftable talent coming out of Colorado this year. So it shouldn't be a shock to anybody that the Giants sent such a large contingent, that the Titans, that the Browns, all of these teams sent so many different coaches, so many different ownership members and different front office executives. There's a lot of talent there at Colorado. So I think it makes a ton of sense that everybody tried to get as close of a look as they could. So I guess it is possible that they were there for Hunter. I know that's what Adam Schefter and all of the other insiders are kind of starting to indicate. But until I see them make a move at quarterback, I'm going to assume that they're drafting a quarterback, because I just refuse to believe that they're going to walk into that draft with just Kenny Pickett on the roster and walk out of the first round without taking a quarterback.
Again, and as you're talking about the possibility of Sanders going to the Browns, and it makes a world of sense, obviously, for the reasons that we've talked about before on the show, unless they are going to go and get another veteran quarterback. Maybe that's why Pittsburgh brought him in. Maybe they think there's a very strong possibility he's going to be a Cleveland Brown. He's going to be in the division. You're going to be playing him twice every year. You don't know, right? That's entirely possible, too. They could be doing their homework on the quarterback that they think could very well likely be a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah, and I think it was on Friday's show, you made a great point, Chris. I think it was you mentioning there used to be some sort of, I think, a spat between Deion Sanders and the Browns, where Deion would criticize the Browns publicly. So maybe it could have been the ownership group of the Browns trying to speak to Deion and convince him, hey, your son belongs here. He could absolutely play here, and you should have an open mind to this organization. I think that's totally possible. And even for Travis Hunter, actually, I think that goes double, because Deion has said that he would get involved with Travis Hunter if he was drafted by the wrong organization as well in the past. So that could totally be why the ownership was there, maybe just to check in with Deion and make sure that they had the green light to draft either of those two players.
Yeah. Adriana, what do you think? You think they were there more for Hunter than Sanders? You think it was equal? You think they were there for Shador Sanders? Because I agree with Anthony. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. There is as shitty as Cleveland has run. And listen, you know, pot meat kettle, I get this, okay, because we suck too. Our organizations run like shit as well. But nobody's worse than the Browns. Could they possibly go into the year with because that's all it is? It's just Kenny Pickett. There's no way, right? There's no way. They went to Shador Sanders, right?
There's some theories that they're going to bring in Kirk Cousins. And I know Atlanta has said, we're not going to trade him and blah, blah, blah. But I think if you're Atlanta, like, you just keep him for one more year. I know it's a lot of money, but maybe you rework the contract. Like, I just don't see that being the quarterback option for the Browns when they have the second pick overall. The other thing I've seen is that maybe they're going to trade back into the first for Shador. But I think they probably looked at him and Hunter. I mean, they're both there. There's no way, like, whether you're the second spot or the third spot, like, all 32 teams were there. Some had more personnel than others. But, you know, if you're there, like, you're looking at all of the draft picks. It's not just about Shador. It's not just about Hunter. Like, all of these teams have needs. They all need help. So, obviously, those are the top two. And we saw, you know, Joe Shane and Dable talking to Hunter. I think we also saw him talking to Shador. So, for them, I'm sure it's both of them, but I also would think that it's the same thing for the Browns too. They just don't have the backup plan that the Giants did by having two veteran quarterbacks on the roster.
Right. And one thing Chris and I talked to Patty about, and I brought it up last night, was Cleveland can't afford Kirk Cousins. That Deshaun Watson contract is totally handcuffing them. Kirk Cousins makes a lot of money. So I don't think Cleveland could afford Kirk Cousins. I think that's why the Giants being able to get the contracts they did was huge, because it's not taking up a bunch of cap space. We have guys that we could easily move on from. Or like Anthony said, if Russell Wilson's really good, he's only 36, you could give him a couple extra years if you don't get your quarterback of the future in this draft. So I don't know where Cleveland goes. And again, I'm not a Browns fan. They're a pretty damn good fan. I mean, the Browns fans are pretty damn loyal. When I was growing up in the 80s, watching them playing Cleveland at a dog pound, that was awesome stuff. I mean, I remember Bernie Kosar and Eric Metcalf, and I'm old, but I remember all these guys playing there. So they got a really good fan base. I just don't know how you could possibly sell your fan base on, yeah, we're going in there with Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco or somebody else. Yeah. And, but we got Travis Hunter, so everything is okay. Like, you know, Chris has talked about how if Joe Shane doesn't take a quarterback early in this draft and we win six games losing his job, I don't see how you could possibly be Cleveland's GM and go the route of not taking a quarterback with that pick and saying, yep, we're going in the year with Kenny. Because you already said.
I don't know the specifics of the front office with Cleveland. How long has their GM been there? I don't know.
Does it matter? You make
well, that if were a year, maybe you could sell the fan base. But if it's been like Shane 3 or 4 years, I'm in complete agreement. I think they have to take
He signed the Deshaun Watson contract, right?
Which there you go. Yeah, good point. So.
If I was what if Aaron Rodgers is going, what if he goes to Cleveland? What if that's their plan?
There's no way Rodgers would go to Cleveland. I can't see that happening.
I would love it.
I was gonna say you would love it, but I don't think he's gonna end up in Cleveland. I can't see that happening.
I still think he's holding out for Minnesota. I don't know if they're gonna take him, but I think he's still holding out hope that the Vikings will cave and they'll say, okay, we could use you for a year. Otherwise, he probably ends up with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's so annoying. It is just weird how that you really, every time we do this show, there's different rumors out there. And this is why mock drafts are always fun. And I think what we should do here, we've talked about doing a mock draft. Obviously, again, next week's going to be a little messed up because I'm not going to be around. But the week after, the 23rd of April, that's obviously the day before the draft. I think that'd be a good time to throw out a couple mock drafts just to see what the hell we get in the first round. So I think that's a good time for us to break one of those things out. We'll obviously have a lot more you would think you'd have more clarity on April 23rd, but of course you get the draft night and everything is by the wayside. You never know what the hell is going to happen. We can pretty much assume Cam Ward's going number one. But after that, I don't think any of us or any of the experts know exactly what the hell is going to happen. So that's why we watch in amazement. That's why we have the reactions like we did when we took Daniel Jones, because you just don't know. I don't want to ever have that kind of reaction again, and I don't think that we will. I think that Joe Shane's going to pick the right guy this year, and unless something is really off with Abdul Carter. If Travis Hunter goes second, there's no way they pass at him. No way.
No.
Chris. Unless the injuries.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead, Audra. I'm sorry.
Did anyone see Daniel Jeremiah's updated top 50? Because he has Abdul Carter as the number one overall best player in this year's draft. And Cam Ward is number 8 and Shador is 19. So I know he's just one of these analyst people, but I think it's fascinating because it just goes to show what always happens with the quarterbacks, that the analysts have them ranked one way and then the GMs have them ranked another way. And now I'm like, is there any possibility that they don't take Ward? Like, what if the Titans don't take him? We know that they love him and there's this, you know, they've met with him a bunch of times, but the Titans are a mess. You never know.
I think
Cleveland would take him. I don't think there's any question. Yeah. And we would end up with Travis Hunter. That's the way I think
they'll go. Okay, so then you think that they would go Hunter over Carter in that scenario? Or no, you think Carter would go one?
Carter would be number one, I think.
Okay.
And then I'm saying if they took Carter number one, Cleveland would grab Cam Ward. I wish you would pull us. I'd be all on board with that. That'd be amazing.
What's interesting to me, and we talked about this last night on Patty's show, and I think we've talked about it on this show too, if they end up with Abdul Carter, which he seems to be the favorite right now. Talk to us in 2 weeks. We'll see where we're at. He seems to be the favorite right now. Now if Shore goes two, like Anthony seems to be predicting, I think Hunter's the favorite. But if Hunter goes two, it seems like most people feel Abdul Carter will be three to the Giants. You say to yourself, and I know the old adage, we say it all the time as Giants fans, you can never have enough pass rushers. I get that. But you look at Kayvon Thibodeau, he's approaching
I don't want to interrupt you.
Yeah.
But this just goes to show how much Chris and I work together, because this is exactly what I was going to ask you to start. This is exactly what I was going to ask. Well, I mean.
Yeah, I'll ask it then. You look at Kayvon Thibodeau and you say he's coming up on a contract year. Right, he's got to produce. He's not going to be happy in that situation, right? Because if you draft Abdul Carter 3, that's going to lessen Kayvon's reps. There's no doubt about it. We could talk about how they could find ways to get him on the field at the same time, and they certainly could. But Kayvon's not going to be as involved in the defense if they, as opposed to drafting Shedeur Sanders or Travis Hunter, if they take Abdul Carter, you're going to have an upset Kayvon on your hands. Does that open up the door? Because we've talked about the Giants potentially looking to trade up if a guy like Shedeur trickles down, if they like a Jackson Dart, if the, I don't know who it may be. Does that open the door to trading Kayvon Thibodeau on draft night? I think it does. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if they draft Abdul Carter, I think it's entirely possible Kayvon could be traded on draft night.
I'd be on board with that. I try not to hate on Kayvon. Like, I really don't want to hate on him. I think he's a good football player. But someone I mentioned, I really want Abdul Carter. So I was saying that I want Abdul Carter, and then maybe Kayvon's on the chopping block. Maybe you add him into the rotation, see how it goes a little bit if you pick up the fifth-year option. I think someone like Abdul Carter would like a fire, would light a fire under Kayvon's ass. I don't think he's lazy. That's not what I'm saying. I think he needs some sort of motivation to get him better. I think that's what it is. And I think that Abdul Carter would do that. And I also think someone told me that Kayvon being bad was just a narrative that I'm pushing. So I pulled up stats from 2023 when Kayvon had his best year, and he was not listed in the top 10 or the top 20 in edge rushers in the NFL with pass win rate and I forget what the second thing was. Not even close. So I don't want to hear this, oh, Kayvon's a good football player, and you're just shitting on him unnecessarily. He is a decent football player. He's not good. He's not great. Abdul Carter will be better than him, assuming the injuries don't get in the way. And I think that the Giants should take Carter, rotate the three of them, and if it doesn't go well, then you can trade Kayvon, because he was absolutely not worth the fifth overall pick. And that we can get talk about that whole draft till we're blue in the face about what a shit show the fifth and seventh overall pick ended up being. But I just think he, for the fifth overall pick, he should be elite. No ifs, ands, or buts. End of discussion. He's the fifth fucking overall pick, and he's not even close to it. He's not top 10 in the NFL. He's not even top 20 for edge rushers. And you've got Micah Parsons leading the goddamn way in every freaking stat. So I don't, I'm over Kayvon. I'm done with it.
I don't, I like Kayvon more than you. But I appreciate your passion, and I'm not even necessarily in favor of trading him, but I do think it opens the door, because I look at it and I say, how much are you going to invest in that position? You already paid Brian Burns a boatload of money. You're now investing the third overall pick in Abdul Carter, and Kayvon Thibodeau's coming up on a potential contract extension. That's where I question it. I don't know if they're going to be willing to pay Kayvon Thibodeau $30, $40 million a year if he has a good year, after just drafting Abdul Carter, who's set to replace him. I don't know what Kayvon's market would be, but I would think if you draft Abdul Carter, that at least becomes a possibility, because at that point, I don't think Kayvon's happy being here. Or at least I think that opens up the door to, for that to be a possibility, because he sees it as, I'm going to have a reduced role. So that's why I think it's possible he could be. Maybe it's not on draft night, like I said, like you said, maybe it's midseason. But I think it opens up, that definitely opens up the door as that being a possibility.
Good, light a fire under his ass. Then maybe he'll be motivated, play better, and trade him in the middle of the year to someone else.
Kayvon is shows flashes. You can see the potential. But again, when you're the fifth overall pick, you don't want to see flashes. Every NFL player, Daniel Jones had flashes too. That doesn't make you a good player. He's too inconsistent. And yeah, I don't know what his deal is. I like Kayvon. But to Chris's point, and Anthony, you can chime in on this. Anytime, man. I just agree with Chris. He's coming up on a contract. So the most you're going to do is pick up the fifth-year option. You just paid Burns a ton of money. Are you going to pay Kayvon Thibodeau a bunch of money, and then you're going to have Abdul Carter like going into his second or third year? What are you going to do with Abdul Carter? What if Abdul Carter
– making a lot of money, Bad Dog, if you're picking him third overall.
Right. What if Abdul Carter comes in and gets 16 sacks and 18 sacks? Well, then what – so you're going to pay Burns 30 million a year, Thibodeau 30 million? You're going to pay – $120 million in edge rushers alone. So it would make sense. I mean, you're kind of drafting his replacement, but Anthony, you've been waiting patiently, man. What do you think?
I wouldn't trade Kayvon Thibodeau. I think it's important to note he's only 24 and the Giants had a scheme change, and it clearly had an effect on him. And the jury is still very much out on Shane Bowen and his ability to maximize pass rushers. The jury has always been out on Wink Martindale and his ability to maximize pass rushers. Wasn't Thibodeau the first ever double-digit sack edge rusher in the history of a Wink Martindale defense? He hasn't been playing in good defenses. I get it. he hasn't produced the way we want him to, and he definitely has been inconsistent. But I think there's a lot of context that's playing into it. He was banged up last year. He's still very young. I think he's still trying to figure out how to be a refined pass rusher, add those moves to his repertoire. But coming out of college, he had all the physical tools and traits. He had the smarts, and he had the drive and the motor. Now it's just about putting him in the right situation at the right time and seeing if you could spark that potential to fully come out. That's what I think it is with Thibodeau. I just think he's been held back by extenuating circumstances. One of them being how bad the Giants offense is. Like, everybody always talks about, oh, the defensive line got ran all over and this and that. The defense was on the field all the time last year and even the year prior. Guys like Kayvon, who are in the trenches getting beat up by Tyron Smith or whoever, they get worn down pretty quickly when your offense can't produce. Your offense is going three and out, punting the football. Boom, now your defense is back on the field, running in and out of the huddle, running in on and off the sideline, running all over the place. So I think with Kayvon Thibodeau, he's 24. He's entering his fourth season. This is like the put up or shut up year. I think he's definitely earned the fifth year option in his contract, in my opinion. I know there's a lot of fans who think it should be declined, but I don't. He did have a double digit sack season, and you have to give him credit for that. No, the consistency hasn't been there, but considering his age, considering the value of the fifth year option, it's only $16 million for 1 year. Yes, it's fully guaranteed, so it can be a little bit of a contractual burden on your cap space. However, it also gives you more control over Kayvon and his future, and it gives you more time to extend him if you need to, or time to trade him if you desire to. So I think Thibodeau, it's just about being a little bit more patient. I know it kind of sounds like we're talking about Daniel Jones. Oh, just wait one more year. But it's really not that. I think it's a totally different situation here with Thibodeau. He came out of college with way more talent than a guy like Jones ever did. I just think one more year of patience. This is the put up or shut up year. It's the prove it year for Thibodeau. And I think now going into year two of a scheme that's hopefully going to allow him to thrive a little bit more now that they added some more pieces around him, especially in the secondary and especially on offense. I think we should see the spark from Thibodeau. I think we should see him take those steps. And if he doesn't, then yes, when you pick up his fifth year option, you're still able to trade him. Somebody's going to take him for a late pick, knowing what he had in college. They're going to go ahead and trade for him while he's on the fifth year option anyway.
I like your plan. I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I like your plan, Anthony. I just don't know how happy Kayvon's going to be, and I worry about that. But I like your plan. I do think Kayvon could have a really big year. I thought he was going to have a really big year last year. He's got a lot of reason to have a big year this year. He saw the contract that Myles Garrett got. He's hopefully healthy this year. Another year with Burns, having a guy like Carter should only help him. I just don't know how frequently he's going to be on the field. But if you add a guy like Abdul Carter, so that's my only worry, is Kayvon going to be happy here?
I get that. I just don't think Kayvon has that power. I don't think he's proved enough to request a trade, demand a trade. If that happens, I mean, like, come on. We're all talking about him as being disappointed in him. The Giants are probably feeling the same way. And other teams around the league are going to look at him and say, I'm not going to give anything up for him. I don't want him if he's already creating this ruckus. They just drafted a rookie. He should be competitive. He should be going out there trying to beat that rookie. Instead, he's trying to run away from that rookie to another team. We don't want him. So I don't think it would make sense for Kayvon to do that. It wouldn't make sense for the Giants. I don't think it would happen. I think he would just put up or shut up. Like I said, go out there, play some ball, compete with and alongside Carter, and prove that you were worth the fifth overall pick.
Can you get him all enough snaps? Go ahead, Adrian. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
The thing that I didn't like about Kayvon specifically last year too was that I felt like they finally had Burns, and Burns was supposed to really help him, and he didn't. Kayvon didn't get any better last year, but also Burns was out there week in and week out playing with injuries, and he never gave up. And Burns has like become one of my favorite Giants because he's tough as nails. And I don't think Kayvon is. I think Kayvon could be a little bit of a whiny bitch, and I don't like it. I saw him give up on some plays last year. There were talks that he did that in college, and that was negative on him coming out, that he takes off plays. And I saw him do it last year, and I never saw Burns did it. And Burns never complained about the fact that they were on a 3-14 football team. They're a veteran learning a new scheme. You know, he wasn't getting the numbers that he should have gotten because of XYZ. There were no complaints from Burns. So that's my only thing where I'm like, I don't want to hear it from Kayvon, because you have someone who is new onto this team, who is also learning a new scheme, who was new to everything, the whole area, and who worked his ass off, played through injuries, and didn't take plays off and didn't complain about it.
Real quick, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't Brian Burns the guy that said this team needs to grow up? I forgot who that was. Somebody said this team needs to grow up. Was it him?
I think it was.
Yeah. So yeah. he obviously saw a lot of it. I don't know if he was talking about Kayvon, because listen, I don't want to give up on Kayvon. I think Kayvon's got a world of talent. But again, if you're lazy, I don't give a shit how talented you are. If you don't work, you're going to fail. It's life in general. That's not just football. You can be really brilliant, but if you don't put it to use, what the hell's the point? I do think a good Abdul Carter, a little bit of competition would fire him the hell up. I don't know if he takes plays off, and it's hard for me to tell if they do. I'm not on the field. I don't really know. Maybe he got hurt. I don't know. It's hard for me to ever, unless you just really watch a guy watch, or maybe you've seen that before. They just see you later. But I understand it's frustrating. He should be elite. He's the fifth overall pick. You expect the guy to be a monster, and he's been a monster here and there. And then there's other games where you forgot he's even on the field. You can't really have that with a fifth overall pick. But maybe if you do draft Abdul Carter, it does light a fire under his ass, and he plays really good in the second year in a Shane Bowen system with the Brian Burns and in a healthy Dexter Lawrence, because that certainly hurt the Giants too, that they didn't have Dexter Lawrence for a lot of the year. I don't want to give up on the guy. There's a reason to pick him fifth overall. He is incredibly talented. He was pretty much mocked to go first until Trayvon Walker blew up the combine. So I felt like we got a steal at that point, but
him or Hutchinson were the
It feels like no matter what we do, it never seems to be right. It always seems like it's the right pick when we get it, and then they get here, and it's like, what the fuck did we just do? I don't know.
You think about him and Hutchinson, only four picks apart, right? And they're not even remotely close. Like Aiden Hutchinson is 100 times better than Kayvon, and it's not even an argument.
He's
unbelievable. Yeah, I can't argue on that. Aiden Hutchinson is maybe the best young pass rusher in the sport. So
remember when we drafted Kayvon? It was 2022. Remember we went to the postseason that year? We won a playoff game. Our coach won Coach of the Year. Remember that? Big shout out to BetUS TV, who sponsor our stream. They power the stream. And if you want to check out BetUS TV, go to their YouTube channel. They have all your prop bets, your spreads, everything about the draft, everything about sports. Check them out. They're the ones that power stream. And we have a great one today. As you see, Brian Daboll is 28-1. There's 32 coaches, mind you. 32.
That's not a bad bet.
Oh, my God.
28-1.
I'm not picking him with Coach of the Year, Bad Dog, but for 28-1, he won Coach of the Year 2 years ago, and his odds going into that year was probably higher than this. So it being a first year head coach, those aren't bad odds.
Better odds than the Giants winning the division, in my opinion, because we don't need to win the division for him to win Coach of the Year. If the Giants won 9 games again or 10 games, they got lucky, they were 10-7, that's Coach of the Year. Without question. This is also when he won Coach. You can tell he's a little heftier in this picture. This isn't thin Daboll. So this is Coach of the Year Daboll over there. So I'm taking a thicker Daboll to win Coach of the Year at 28-1. I like those odds, but I thought like that was funny.
Yeah.
Shout out to our guy Borna for coming up with some of these stats, because they make us laugh every time. How long the odds are for the Giants to succeed at anything in 25-26. Even our coach is relegated to being 28-1 when it comes to winning Coach of the Year. But huge shout out to BetUS TV for powering Giants Collective. We appreciate them very much. And like I said, go over there, check them out on YouTube, and go Coach Daboll at 28-1.
I don't hate those odds. Like, if they can win 9 games, which I'm not predicting, but if they did, he would be, like you said, one of the front runners to win it. So I don't hate those odds.
Gotta be, without question. Is it possible we win 9 games?
Yeah, it's also possible I could land on the moon in a month, but it's not likely. It's not likely, but you never know.
You never do know.
Is that the Giants signed 2 veteran quarterbacks and our win total went up 1 from 4-5. So
yeah. Yeah, that was the other one I saw. Was the odds were, I think they were -140 that we won less than 6 games. I think the odds were, less than 6 games, because the odds were like 5.5 as far as a win total goes. And we were like -145 or whatever it was to win less than 5 games. I wish I knew exactly the way the schedule was played out, because I'm just curious if the Giants get off to a really bad start. Say we started 0-4, We'll start with you, Adriana, because I know Chris has been pretty vocal about if the Giants are bad, Dable's going to get fired and Shane's going to get fired. The Giants start off really bad. They're 0-5. How long is Brian Dable's leash? You think they would get rid of him in the middle of the year? You think they would clean house in the middle of the year and get ready for 2026? Or do you think that they would just play out the season if we got off to a really bad situation?
To me, it all depends on whether or not they have Shedeur Sanders or another quarterback. I think if they're 0-4 or 0-5 between Russ Wilson and Jameis Winston, but they have Shedeur Sanders and then they put him in and he wins like two games against, who knows, maybe he wins two division games or a division game in an AFC West game. Like, I think that could help to keep them and at least keep them through the rest of the year. I think if they start a rookie quarterback at some point throughout the season, nobody's getting fired. I think if everything is going wrong and they have no rookie quarterback and it's the three that are on the roster right now, I do think at the bye week, I don't think it would be sooner than that. I think at the bye, we could see a change. And I think they would promote Kafka. I don't know what they, and Brandon Brown, I guess, would just be promotions through the rest of the year.
Yeah, they would fire Shane, I would think so, yeah.
How would that work? They get off to a really bad start. They didn't draft Shedeur Sanders. They get off to a really bad start. Do they make it through the year, or does John Mara say, screw this, I'm punting, I'm going for 2026?
I think the bye week sounds about right. Like, the bye week is a good time to make any changes if you want to. The interim coaches and GMs have that extra week off that they can kind of just get things in order. So I think by the bye week, if they have like a significant losing record, then there's a really good chance that they do all get fired. I think it's going to be really hard for them to survive through another slow start this season, especially kind of, you know, after signing a quarterback like Russell Wilson and going this whole offseason, all Shane and Dable were saying was that they need good quarterback play and they have to find their quarterback. And then they brought in Russell Wilson and social media team made it a big deal and really hyped it up and acted like we got a franchise guy. So I think they got to prove that they have a quarterback that they believe in. Even if they don't land Shedeur or draft a quarterback this year, they're going to have to go ahead and win some games. And if they don't, I think John Mara made it very clear that his patience has run thin. And so if he doesn't get some better results this season, I absolutely could envision a midseason firing.
Chris, what do you think?
I got to see what they do in the draft first before I could completely answer this.
I'll just say they don't take Sanders.
If they don't take a quarterback in the first two rounds, I still don't think he'd fire them midseason. It just doesn't seem to be what the Giants do. The only time in my lifetime that they have fired, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think the only time in my lifetime that they fired a coach in season was McAdoo, and that was only because of the Eli debacle. Otherwise, he would have saw the season through. Mm-hmm. I don't think Mara would fire them midseason. Now, maybe if he comes to the conclusion that he's going to move off these guys with 2 or 3 weeks to play, then he may rip it up so he gets a head start on the GM and coaching search. That's possible, but I don't think he would fire them midseason. I think they would see the entirety of this year. But I'm going to continue to say what I've said. If the Giants win 6 games this year, which I think is likely, I don't think they're going to win very many more than that. I hope they prove me wrong, and they don't draft the quarterback. I hope Brian Dable, for his sake, is calling the plays this year because he's going to be an offensive coordinator somewhere else in 2026, and Joe Shane will be an assistant GM somewhere else. That's what I think will happen if they don't draft the quarterback early, and that's where it seems to be trending. So for their sake, they better hope this team wins 8-9 games and is competitive if they're going to go into the year with Russell Wilson and without a young quarterback to sell John Mara on long term.
Yeah, I really hope this doesn't. I really hope that doesn't happen. It would be nice to get off to a good start for a change. And like I said, I don't want to be doing this show around Halloween and we're already talking about the draft of 2026. It seems like it's been the way, you know, outside of 2022, it seems like every year I'm done with the Giants before I'm done with the Yankees, who, by the way, look like shit right now as well, but that's another time for another show there. But yeah, we got to get up to a good start. We got to be competitive, man. The Giants got to find ways to win games. And call me a fan, call me crazy. I've been called a lot freaking worse, and I'm sure people will call me a lot worse. I don't know why, and I shouldn't do it, but I do go into this year with a little bit more optimism. I really like what Joe Shane did this offseason. I like what he did in free agency. I felt like he did correct some of his mistakes. I feel like he did a good job with the quarterback room. He didn't get a lot of years in, you know, not a big financial commitment to either one of these guys. They're both capable NFL quarterbacks without question. Average, if Russell Wilson's average, that's better than anything we've had in 6 years. It's way better. And the prospects of Malik Nabers with Russell Wilson and perhaps a Travis Hunter and Darius Slayton and Theo Johnson. And maybe it's me. I feel like the offense could be a touchdown better than they were last year. We scored 23 points a game, and you let that defense do the thing. We, like Anthony said earlier, you're not having them on the field 33 minutes a game. They're on the field 28 minutes a game because you can actually convert third and four because Russell Wilson gets the ball out and Wandale catches it and try to get 6 yards instead of two. It helps the defense. And
you're talking about, you're excited about the offense.
I'm not excited.
You're more optimistic than, which is fair. I mean, Malik Nabers year two, a competent quarterback with Russell. I get it. I'm a lot more excited about the defense, man, though, especially if they draft Abdul Carter with that third pick. Like, dude, you look at this defensive line. They shirt up the secondary. Like, I think this defense could be really good next year. And if the Giants are going to surprise and win eight games, I think it's going to be because of the defense. And the offense makes enough plays to win games. But I think the strength of this team is going to be on the other side of the ball.
Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. So it'd be like 2022 kind of, where the offense doesn't fuck it up and the defense kind of carries. Yeah. You know, the difference is we don't have a Barkley here. But the offense didn't turn the ball over in 2022. And the defense kept us in all these games. And the offense was able to make enough plays to win. And, Chris, you mentioned this last year when we did our show. A huge part that really hurt the Giants last year was Graham Gano being hurt, because Graham Gano won us a ton of games.
2 years.
Yeah. So we need him to be healthy. Like, as stupid as, you don't even think the kicker's an afterthought. But without question, the way we play football, he's a gigantic part of what we do. Pun intended. He's a giant part of what we do.
And I'll take it a step further. The year we won 9 games. If we had the Graham Gano we've had the last 2 years, we probably went 5 or 6. You think about how we won all those close games. Graham Gano was automatic that year. Whenever he went in 55 yards, oh, that's like an extra point. It's good to go. So the fact that Gano's been banged up and he's regressed due to his injuries, being a team that has to win close the way the Giants do, that's been a major factor. And I actually was leaning that they were going to cut Gano for cap savings and the fact he's been dinged up the last 2 years and they look for somebody else long term. They didn't elect to do that. So, yeah, if the Giants are going to surprise this year, Graham Gano's got to stay healthy. He's more important to this team than a lot of fans realize.
Giants draft the kicker in this draft?
Probably not. But who knows? Maybe.
They've got 2 seventh-round picks, so they might as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any kickers. I never look at the kicker. I know when Chris and I do the Eagles mock draft, they always load up with kickers and long snappers. Kickers,
long snappers, yeah.
I wish they would listen to us for once. Yes, Fabian. Thank you so much. Says Tim's outspoken on the Barkley contract. He will want an overpay. Either way, Shane has to have all the possibilities projected. Can't let him walk for zero. That's definitely a big thing. I think one of the major criticisms about Joe Shane, and I don't know if Anthony mentioned on this show with Aziz Ojulari or whatever, is that we do just kind of let players, well, no, it's Patty, I think, because we're not going to get any comp picks next year. Because of all we spent on free agency. So you can't just let these guys walk for nothing. So, I mean, what do you guys think about that with Kayvon wanting to get too much money?
I agree. He's 100% going to want that. So that was my thinking. Like, if they draft Carter, they have to have some sort of trade plan for Kayvon, because I would think that their plan is with Burns on the books and spending the money that they would spend on Carter, that there's no way they're going to pay Kayvon too. So I would think that instead of letting him walk, you got to think about getting something in return for him. So that's only if they get Carter. If they don't get Carter, then, you know, it's a different scenario. They pick up the fifth year option. Maybe they get an edge later. Maybe they plan to get someone next year in the draft or free agency or something. But if they draft Carter, then yeah, because no question, Kayvon's going to want a ton of money, and he's not going to care that his stats aren't going to back him up.
Right. And he'll get it. I mean, edge rushers make a lot of money. Even if he was in the middle of the pack, he's probably going to get $25 million. I mean, at least somebody's going to pay him a lot of money. And you think it's at least 1 year from now, and the cap goes up 10% every year. Anthony, is there any way that they could keep all three of those guys? Is there any way they could do that? I mean, we're talking that they drafted Abdul Carter, and that Carter's got to be here for 4 or 5 years.
But they don't have to pay Carter for 5 years. Like, they've got time. And I don't see this world right now where Kayvon's getting 25 a year. If he has another 4 sack season this year, let's say. He had, what, four and a half last year?
Let's say that happens again.
Yeah. There's no way he's getting 25. So, like, the jury's still out for him, not only for the Giants and Giants fans, but for the rest of the league, too. Like, he's not going to have that kind of market, in my opinion, unless he goes for double-digit sacks this year. Then maybe he pushes into the $25, $30 million per year range. But right now, I mean, his production is comparable to that of Aziz Ojulari, but a little bit better, I would say, because what the NFL teams use, we've heard this before, Joe Shane refuses to use PFF grades in any negotiations. I think most teams do. They look at raw stats, like how many sacks did you have, how many tackles for loss, and Kayvon Thibodeau does not have that production after a 4 sack season or whatever he just had, 5.5, whatever it was. So realistically, the production that he's put up over the last 3 years is not that much greater than the guys who make around $10 million per season in free agency. So unless this year he plays really well, he'll be at an affordable price point for the Giants. And I could see him getting more realistically a 2 to 3 year deal, kind of similar to the one that they offered Saquon Barkley, maybe a little bit pricier because he's an edge rusher rather than a running back. But I think that deal will be a little bit more comparable to Barkley than it would be to a Myles Garrett or anybody else near the top of the market. And I think that considering you would still have Carter on that rookie contract for the next 5 years, you could line it up where Kayvon's deal is 2-3 years and expires the same year as Carter's, and then you have a judgment day on both of them at the same time, and that's the more likely time to move on from Kayvon Thibodeau when you have to pay Abdul Carter. I think there's a way to bridge the gap here with the contract with Kayvon Thibodeau is essentially what I'm saying.
Would you want to pay him anything if he had the type of production that he had last year? Would you want to keep him around?
Depends on the context and the circumstances. Like, let's say he's hurt and he plays 11 games this year, but he has 4 sacks, but he was productive. You know, I really don't know. Like, I can't because I got to see it. You know, like, I got to see how he plays and I got to see the down-to-down production. I'm just not sure because, like I said, I'm down to pick up the fifth-year option on him because I think you got to give him a little bit more time and a little bit of a better situation to see if he grows. But, you know, this is the put up or shut up year. Like, if he doesn't play well this year, then yes, while he's on that fifth year option, I would try to trade him. I don't know how much you're getting for him because the contract is now inflated, but then you do try and trade him, I think. But I really think it's a wait and see thing with Kayvon Thibodeau because he's got like a varying projection here. He could go for 15 sacks this year, or he could go for 5 because he hasn't really proven to be either player at this point. So if he goes for 15, he's going to get paid a lot for sure. If he goes for 5, it's a totally different story. So I really just don't know. We got to see.
Yeah. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if they want to, absolutely they could make it work. I mean, the Giants did it back in the day when they had OC, JPP was on the rod, talk. So, they had, you know, I remember OC used to always hold out and try to get as much money as he possibly could. Did that twice, and the Giants ended up giving him a boatload of money. Strahan was getting paid a lot at the time, too. So, you can make it work, especially if you're going to have a rookie quarterback, right? Because then you don't got to worry about that $50 million a year salary. I don't know if they're going to draft a rookie this year. I don't know if it's going to be next year. You could certainly make it work. But my line of thinking, Bad Dog, is if they're going to be drafting a rookie quarterback in the near future, if I was the GM, even though I like Kayvon, like, I'm not trying to rush him out of town. I like Kayvon. But if I was the GM, I would try to prioritize the bulk of my spending to try to help that quarterback as best as I can. Spend a ton of money on a wide receiver too, opposite neighbors, like, get a legitimate tight end, continue to bolster that offensive line. So that's the way I would think. Rather than having to spend a ton of my cap space on that defensive line, and this is all based off the assumption we draft Abdul Carter. This changes if we don't draft Abdul Carter.
Right, absolutely.
But if you already have Abdul Carter and Brian Burns on the roster and I drafted a rookie quarterback, me personally, if I'm the GM, I know that's my ticket to success. That's how I'm going to keep my job. I would rather allocate my funds to try to support that quarterback on the offensive side of the ball. That's just my line of thinking. But they could make it work if they wanted to. Absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to find out. We're going to find out in, what, 2 weeks from Thursday.
Yeah.
We're going to know for sure. All this speculation will be answered 2 weeks from Thursday. Maybe even Wednesday. You know, things leak by then. So Wednesday should be an interesting – a couple weeks from tomorrow will be an interesting show. Dope Dez, thank you so much. He says, as soon as the first plane flies, they are gone. So first game of the year, first home game of the year.
That's what I'm they booed him after 3 plays last year.
Well, they deserved it too.
They did deserve it.
They deserved it. But When do you guys think the first plane goes over MetLife Stadium?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's week one, because I know a lot of, like, I still get DMs from people like, why didn't we fire them? Like, they should be fired. Like, when are we firing them? So would it surprise me if week one, there's a plane that says, like, they should have been fired or something like that?
Right. I mean, they Barkley won a Super Bowl. They haven't had a chance to fly a banner over MetLife Stadium. So is that possible? You got the Goodyear blimp. You got all the hoopla opening day, and there goes the plane.
You know what?
Why did you get rid of Barkley?
It'll be a plane from an Eagles fan that says, thank you, John, for Saquon.
Right. Like it probably will be. They would not surprise one bit.
I think if they do that, and nothing, I wouldn't rule it out. It certainly could happen. It kind of loses the impact. It almost becomes a bit of a gimmick if you're doing it before the first game is even played. Like, I feel like it
starts an Eagles fan.
Yeah, that's fair. But if the Giants fans continue to do that every week, I feel like it kind of loses the impact a little bit. It becomes a bit of a gimmick.
I will say this. If an Eagles fan does fly that banner, we know they'll spell Saquon wrong. I guarantee. And they will spell it S-A-Q-U-A-N. It's my favorite when I do a Giants video. Thanks to Saquon, S-A-Q-U-A-N. I'm like, who is that? Who's that guy? I never heard of him. You mean Saquon with an O? Idiots. Why are Eagles fans potatoes? Anybody understand this? Like, I can't figure it out. I they're really challenged. I don't know what else to say. I mean, just Eagle fans in general. They didn't deserve a damn Super Bowl. They didn't deserve it. I guess. Sorry. They did not deserve it at all. It was pretty crazy the way that ended up being. So to close this out real quick, because like I said, I got to get out of here like right at in a couple minutes. So we're going to do this pretty much every time we close it out or pretty much every show. Gut feeling now, Adriana, Giants are on the clock. Roger Goodell goes to the podium with the third pick in the 2025 NFL draft. The New York Giants select
Penn State edge rusher Abdul Carter.
Without question.
Hunter goes to?
I think it's going to be Travis Hunter. I'm not convinced Travis Hunter is going number two to the Browns. I think it's either going to be Abdul Carter for them. I think that the buzz was Abdul Carter for like a full month to the Browns, just because it switched up a little bit now, because Adam Schefter said something doesn't mean his word is Bible to me. And I actually still really think that they're going to go Shedeur Sanders, because I just can't see how they're going to walk into the season with Kenny Pickett as their quarterback and not do something to bring in a QB. So I think Sanders is going to go two, and I think Travis Hunter is going to go number three to the Giants.
I can't see them not taking Shedeur Sanders. Chris, with the third pick.
I've been consistent. I've stayed on the Shedeur train, but at this point, and maybe I will change my opinion as the draft gets closer. But today, if you ask me, and it all depends on the Cleveland pick, right? That's where the draft starts. Like, if they go Shedeur, it's going to be Travis Hunter more than likely. If they go Travis Hunter, I'm leaning today it's going to be Abdul Carter. And I would be thrilled if we get Abdul Carter. As we've all discussed, we love Abdul Carter. I think I actually agree with Daniel Jeremiah. I do think he's the best player in this draft. I worry about his injuries, and I think that's a fair concern that a lot of fans have. But I'm leaning today he's the pick for the Giants. That could change in a week, though.
It could change tomorrow. It always does. This time of year, you don't know, because – last time we did this, there was nothing about Travis Hunter going to Cleveland. I thought the whole time it was going to be Abdul Carter. And then when I looked at the quarterback situation and Anthony mentioning that, the owner comes right out and says that Deshaun Watson contract was a disaster. And then he goes to Colorado, and it'd be different if they had Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson was healthy and it was him and Kenny Pickett. Well, while that quarterback room is still a mess, at least Deshaun Watson has played an elite level at some point. I know he's definitely not what he was, but you can at least skate by going, well, we got these two guys. They can play somewhat, and we're going to get the best player in the draft at number two. There's just no way you're going into 2025 as any NFL franchise going, Kenny Pickett's our guy, we have no backup. Who the hell is Cleveland's backup going to be? Who? I don't even know who's out there. Because, again, they can't afford Kirk Cousins because Deshaun Watson's cap. What is Deshaun Watson's cap? Does anybody know? It's like $70 million. Isn't it something insane? like 70 million or the dead cap. Maybe the dead cap is 75 million, so they can't cut him. Maybe that's what I was looking at.
I was actually looking. They can save money by trading him. I think the problem would be how much Cleveland inherits, and I don't know what that would look like. But they could actually restructure and put Cousins? 4 years on the contract or something. Yeah, Kirk Cousins.
I think that's what I read. Yeah, I didn't want to blow up Patty's spot yesterday, but I think I remember reading that too. If they traded Cousins, the Falcons would still have to eat almost the entire contract. Like,
I saw that the Falcons would save $2.5 million in cap space. Let me double check this, but this is what I found earlier when I was on Over the Cap, and it was saying, let me double check. I got it pulled up right now. If they trade him and they designate it pre-June 1st, they save $2.5 million on Kirk Cousins' deal. If they trade him and they designate it post-June 1st, they can save $27.5 million. So there is actually a financial incentive to trading away Kirk Cousins. I think the reason why the Falcons would not want to trade away Kirk Cousins is because Michael Penix has that injury history, and they've been adamant that they want to have a secure backup plan in case Penix gets injured again. So that's why I think they're going to keep Kirk. However, the contract is tradable from the Falcons' standpoint. I think, yes, they'll have a ton of dead money, but they'll have some savings. I don't know if it's inheritable from the Cleveland Browns' standpoint, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I just don't know what the hell Cleveland's going to do. And I don't think you can go into the year with overpaid Kirk Cousins and Kenny Pickett. I still don't think that works. I think you need to bring some excitement there as well. And at least to have a quarterback, you can say, well, we'll give him a shot at some point. But you know Kenny Pickett can't play in this league. He sucks. He might actually be worse than Daniel Jones, if that's possible. He just didn't get paid like Daniel Jones. But he's terrible. Small hands Kenny Pickett. I mean, you never see the guy with the small hands in a Whopper commercial. I was like, that's Kenny Pickett right there. The Whopper makes his hands look small. He's got small hands. I don't know what else to say. But with that said, this brings us to another close of an. I can't even talk. This brings us to the close of another edition of Giants Collective. Again, I want to thank these three lovely people for catering to my schedule, which was a little bit crazy the next couple of weeks due to the Lakers, due to vacation and all this other stuff. So that's why we're live today at 6:30. We'll be live again on Thursday. Friday is my wife's birthday, so I'm definitely not going to be on YouTube on Friday at 7 o'clock. That's not going to happen. So we're going to do it again on Thursday. It'll be at 7 o'clock on Thursday, and I'm sure we'll have more rumors to discuss. And again, if you have any questions that you want us to answer, make sure you drop them in the comment section of this video, and we will answer them on Thursday. So with that said, for Audrion, Anthony, and the Entertainer, it is your guy, Bad Dog, and we will see you soon. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we gone. Peace.
Have a good night, guys.